The Lighthouse Retirement Hour is brought to you by Martin D. Parlato & Associates, LLC, a Florida-registered investment advisory firm with your host, Martin Parlato. Firm number 147403 and only conducts business in states where registered or exempt from registration. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers of questions does not and is not intended to constitute the rendering of personal investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional investment advisor should be consulted prior to implementing any of the information discussed. The subject matter discussed on this show represents the political, personal opinions, and personal financial opinions of Martin D. Parlato or other attributed authors and sources, either in whole or excerpts. Financial opinions are based upon the research undertaken by Mr. Parlato or purchased by Mr. Parlato and may not be suitable for your particular investment needs. Always remember that investing in the stock market involves risk, and we do not guarantee a profit or protection against losses unless you decide to purchase products designed for that purpose. You should carefully consider your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial objectives before making investment decisions. By investing, you run the risk of losing money or losing buying power. Risk can be classified into many different categories, and by knowing those categories, you can better manage expectations and avoid or reduce certain kinds of risk. For even more information about investment risk, see FINRA's webpage about managing investment risk or send us an email request through our website and we will forward the link to you without obligation. Now, sit back and enjoy today's show with your host, Martin Parlato.
Hi, folks. This is Martin Parlato, and I'm interrupting my own show because, man, did we nail it on both of our shows today. I'm interrupting the show because I warned you the wheels were coming off the Trump train. I told you that Anthony Scaramucci was coming to the White House, and I told you to pray for your president and pray for Anthony Scaramucci. News, Anthony Scaramucci's in. Paul Spicer resigning. Bannon on his way out, probably. The wheels are coming off the Trump train, and hallelujah, maybe we'll get it back on the track. Enjoy the show. We nailed it, folks. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week. And welcome back, Jacksonville, the beaches, St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Green Cove, Amelia Island, Fleming Island, Daytona, the villages. Welcome back to this production of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour for Saturday, July 22nd, 2017. Let's try and find out together how the stock market really works. Well, you guys have a big job in front of you. You're going to have to get your calendars out today to figure out this show. This show, I can tell you because I wrote it, I produced it, and I recorded it, this show is one hot mess this week. As I pen this part of the show, I anticipated it might be something, I don't know, like nearly my fourth rewrite of this show. And before we get too far into this show, I need for you guys to give a brother a break. Give a brother a break. I know that the vast majority of you guys are of you radio listeners in general, or you're Republicans, and I get that. And the code word for Republicans, sometimes people like to use the code word conservatives. And I know that the overwhelming majority of us, Republicans and conservatives, we want President Trump to succeed. And by succeed, I mean that we want him to indict Hillary, to lock her up. We want him to drain the swamp, meaning get rid of Paul Ryan. And we want him to repeal and replace Obamacare, meaning just undo his signature legislation, right? But you guys have to remember that while this is the most entertaining, the most fun, the most enjoyable, the smartest political show on the radio, that at its core, this is really a money show. And all I want from this president or any other president is to give me and my clients the opportunity to make more money, to be so rich that I don't have to be concerned with who the next idiot in the White House is. And does that make any sense to you? Because if it does, this show will work out great for both of us. I've told you before that I worship at the church of what's happening now, not at the feet of the Republican Party, and not at the feet of the Democrat Party. And so when the wheels start coming off, when I start smelling chicken you know what, and someone tries to tell me to swallow it because it's really chicken salad, then I think I have the right to say, no thank you. And that's where we have come to this week. So let's get right into today's show. And for now, for the sake of continuity, and owing to the fact that the president can't stop speaking, can't stop giving interviews to the likes of the New York Times, as he did on Thursday, effectively trying to coerce Attorney General Jeff Sessions into resigning, I'm just going to let part one of the show read the way that I originally wrote it beginning on Tuesday of this week. Because that's what I did. I started writing it on Tuesday. Events all changed. It got jumbled up by the end of the week. It's Friday now as I'm recording it. But I'm just going to let it stand. I could go back and edit it and make it look like I know everything and I got it all. But I'm going to let it stand on its own. And you guys are just going to have to try and keep up. As I write this part of the show, as I record the show right now, it's Friday morning. And most of what follows, as I said, was written on Tuesday and written on Wednesday. And so I remind you, this week you're going to have to get all, you're going to get both barrels of everything I think is going on about Donald Trump, about President Trump, and about his uniquely unproductive week. So wait for it. This gets really good. And make certain you catch part two of today's show, because there's a lot of money news in that part of the show, and there's some politics there. But if you don't listen to both shows together, you're not going to get the full implication of today's show. You're not going to get the full value of today's show. You have to hear both parts of today's show together, back to back. That's usually the Sunday show where you get both shows, parts one and two, together. But you can also do it by downloading the podcast or just going to my website, lighthouseretirement.com, and streaming parts one and two together. This was a short week for me. I mean, well, it wasn't short. I worked all 7 days of it, but it was a fast week. It was a quick week. It was a compressed week. And as I started preparing for the show for you, it was Monday afternoon. And I was preparing to jump onto the Netflix conference call to discuss their third quarter earnings or whatever the quarter they're in, because this show is at its core a money show. And I have to take care of our clients' money before I can find time to produce the best radio show in our market or perhaps the entire universe. As I write this part of the show, Tuesday afternoon, Netflix shares were up over $18, nearly 9% since the earnings release at 4 o'clock, and they would be up over $22 by the close the next day. If you listened to my show last week and focused on the hidden money news and not just the outrageous political news, you had the opportunity to consider my clients regarding the programming that I was watching on Netflix. Now, sure, it's always possible that I just wanted to share my TV watching list with you, or maybe I just wanted you to understand how much Netflix content I'm presently consuming, or maybe I just wanted you to have the opportunity to think about Netflix for yourself, in time to consider talking with your own advisor or contacting me to discuss owning those shares in advance of what would turn out to be their excellent earnings report. You have to pay attention to this show if you want the full value from this show. Maybe you guys should have thought like that famed investor Peter Lynch. Buy what you know. Buy what you own. Own what you use. It's not always a winning strategy, but it works for Warren Buffett and it works for Peter Lynch. And that's always something to think about as you're beginning to invest in the stock market. Own what you use. Own what you know. I got a nasty email from someone last week, and I've warned you guys. I have warned you all. I've said to you repeatedly, I say every week, I say, feel welcome to write to me. Call me after the show. Email me. I tell you, I'm always glad to hear your comments, but I have warned you, and I'm going to warn you again not to text me ever because I don't do text messages. And the second caveat is you can't harsh my mellow. And Mrs. Hannity, Mrs. Sean Hannity did. She harshed my mellow. Well, at least I think it was Mrs. Sean Hannity because the email, the nasty email was unsigned. But it reads to me like it certainly must have come from Mrs. Sean Hannity demanding that I retract my comments regarding Sean Hannity as if anything that he does has any impact whatsoever on the state of politics in America today other than to whip up and lather up frustration for profit and ratings. Here's the email, the actual email from what I believe to be Mrs. Sean Hannity to me. She writes to me, yesterday, within the first 3 minutes, referring to last week's show, yesterday, within the first 3 minutes of your show, you called President Trump a liar and you mocked Hannity as being, quote, independent. As it turns out, you're the liar in big capital letters. You're the liar, since Hannity is not a registered independent, but a registered conservative. I assume you'll correct your lie next week, as you always claim you'll do if you're caught being wrong. He's a conservative, not an independent.
Well, excuse me!
Really, Mrs. Hannity? Really, Mrs. Hannity? Is that all you got? Is that the best you can do? I produce a two-hour radio program, and that's the best email you can send to me. Is there a difference, Mrs. Hannity, really? Is there a difference between being an independent and a conservative vis-a-vis a Democrat or a Republican? Because for pragmatic purposes here at the Church of What's Happening Now, you really only have three choices when you vote, right? You really only have three choices. You can vote Republican, which is the right way to vote. You can vote Democrat, which is always the wrong way to vote. Or you can just throw your vote out, pick some fringe lunatic party, and waste your vote. And so when it comes right down to it all, this independent thing and this conservative thing, it's really little more than throwing your vote away or failing to have the courage of your convictions. It's really a meaningless designation. I'm from the Green Party. What the hell is the Green Party? So I ask you, Mrs. Hannity, if Sean Hannity is an independent or a conservative or a conservative or an independent, how did he vote? Did he just throw his vote away and vote conservative or vote conservative or vote Green Party? Or in the end, didn't he have to choose to vote Republican or Democrat or throw my vote away? Hannity's deal with being a so-called conservative or an independent, whatever the hell he proclaims to be, is about not ticking off Democrats or moderates so he can maintain as high as possible his ratings. Because when it comes to counting viewing, when it comes to counting eyeballs, when it comes to counting ears listening to his radio show, he doesn't care if you're a whack job Democrat, Republican, a greenie. He doesn't care if you're a conservative. As long as you got ears and eyeballs, that's all that matters to him. Right? There's no prohibition against Democrats listening to Sean Hannity. I am at least, unlike Sean Hannity, able to admit that I am a diehard Republican, and my party is filled with a bunch of fringe nut jobs, like Susan Collins of Maine, who has to go, and John McCain, who has to go. And unfortunately, likely will. I will make a comment regarding John McCain. I don't want to be unkind. I wish him the very best. If he were not ill, I wish that he would resign, but he is ill. I will note one thing regarding John McCain. I think it's fortunate for John McCain that he's a U.S. senator, because if he were on Obamacare, let me ask you, because this cancer that he has is really a death sentence. It's a short-term death sentence. He's not going, you know, he can be as courageous as you want him to be, but he's not going to prevail. He's going to ultimately pass away. But if he were on Obamacare, like you are on Obamacare, how much of this experimental treatment do you think John McCain would be receiving? And not one single person in the media this week had the courage to say to you what I just said to you. But thank God U.S. senators in this country do not have to live by or participate in the horrible health care system that they have created for you and for me. I hope John McCain fares well. I thank him for his great service. He's an 81-year-old senator that should have retired 20 years ago, 10 years ago. But if he were on Obamacare, he wouldn't receive the treatment that he's going to avail himself of. Susan Collins needs to go. Sean Hannity spent 9 years pumping up Senator Mike Lee of Utah, who just this week, just the other night, put the last nail in the coffin of Sean Hannity's president, Donald Trump, Senate health care bill, and possibly the president's chances for a second term. And I don't want to go too far down the second term row today, because I now have serious questions about the president's, my president's ability to remain in office even one full term, maybe one full year. Blasphemy, you say? Satan worshiper, liberal, conservative, independent, greenie. Call me any name you want. But this president is in trouble. Don't get testy with me, because I'm just reporting this news. I'm not the only one saying that this president's term is in jeopardy. Hannity said it on his Tuesday afternoon show. Jim Cramer said it on Tuesday night on Mad Money. The wheels are coming off the Republican train, the Trump train. The wheels are coming off the Trump train. And anyone who's not paying attention to their money and this politics is going to find their money gone. They're going to find this recovery comes to an end. As we wake up this Friday morning, the exodus of parts of his legal team are already making headlines. Maybe you didn't know it. Sean's not on the air yet to tell you. But no one is going to stand by a president, not even his lawyers, who is publicly trying to embarrass his own attorney general into resigning so that he can appoint a new one who may fire the special prosecutor. The wheels are coming off the Trump train. are on fire. The Trump train wheels are on fire. We need to notify the next of kin because these wheels shall explode. If I anticipate that by Christmas or sooner, the list of dearly departed from the Trump campaign will start rolling on, because if he keeps doing things like he did on Thursday to my money and your money by means of his interview with the New York Times Attorney General Jeff Sessions, nobody is going to be able to stand by him, not even Kellyanne. His legal team is already walking away from him, walking off the field. As I think that the comments that he made regarding Jeff Sessions could very well lead to impeachment for obstruction of justice. That is wrong, what he did. It is wrong. I'm not saying it's morally wrong. I'm not saying it's ethically wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying it's a bad idea. I would never have appointed Jeff Sessions. Never in a million years would I have appointed that racist to be attorney general. Never would I have appointed an attorney general that was 80,000 years old. Never would I have appointed that guy. Ever. But you're stuck with him now. You can't tell him he's a bad guy. You wish you wouldn't have hired him. You can't embarrass him so that you can appoint somebody to get rid of the special prosecutor. I don't know who this guy's listening to. Is it Jared? Is it his dopey daughter? Is it Donald Jr.? Is it the voices in his head? I promise you right now, Democrats are drawing impeachment papers against this president. Someone's got to protect this president from himself. The wheels are on fire. I'm not asking you to indict the president. I want the president to be successful. I want desperately for his economic plan to prevail. We need his economic plan to prevail. But this president needs to stop talking and do. Don't talk, do. Pass some major legislation. 860 executive orders? Fine. 860 regulations or whatever that benefit America? Great. Pass some legislation. And I was optimistic. I was optimistic this week would turn out well. But this was a bad week for the president. And it started out bad. But there was a point. There came a point on Wednesday, smack dab in the middle of my day, where I had to stop what I was doing. I had to activate the powerful Gemini private client portal that we give to all of our clients so that I could communicate to them, where he had flipped a horrible week into a great week on Wednesday. But he couldn't stop with great. He had to go on to Thursday. I'm on the Team Trump. I am on Team Trump. I'm right there with Anthony Scaramucci, who got appointed today. I'm right there. I'm just reporting this news. And I hope for your sake. I hope for my sake. I hope for the client's sake that the president gets the message. This presidency, despite whom you blame it on, is on fire. The wheels are coming off. Look, I've got compliments for the president. I have them written down on my professional iPad Pro here with the pen and everything. I have them written down. I had compliments for him Wednesday afternoon when he was speaking to the Senate, when he was browbeating and bashing and smashing the Senate, telling them that they got to do their job, trying to embarrass them. It was the best speech he ever gave. It was the best delivered speech he ever gave. And I intend to work it all in before you start sending me hate mails, Mrs. Hannity. But first, you guys have to pay the price of admission to the rest of this great show. I have a huge show for you guys today, and it's all coming your way right here on part one of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour for Saturday, July 22nd, 2017. But first, you must pay the price of admission to today's show. You must agree to allow me to plug my wealth and investment management firm, and you must agree to at least consider making an appointment to consider becoming our next great client. A one-on-one personal meeting with me will certainly be the most interesting meeting you make, and it may be the most important thing you do for your investment and retirement accounts all year. It may be the most valuable time you invest in yourself and your wealth all year. I am Martin Parlato, and the name of my firm is Martin D. Parlato & Associates. We are a registered investment advisory firm. I do business as Lighthouse Retirement. My website is lighthouseretirement.com. We are a local firm, not some national marketing firm. This is, at its core, a money show that combines money news and politics, because I believe politics affects your money. Our singular business goal is helping you try and make more money in the stock market, because if you got enough money, all of this politics doesn't matter. There's no magic to what I do, just diligence, hard work, research. We always put your interest ahead of our own. We never accept a commission on any security that we offer. And a little luck. This show only works for us both, though, if you decide to consider becoming our next great client. If you like my thoughtful approach to investing in the market and the stock news and the information that I bring to you, then I think that we should meet in person. Here's how you guys can reach out to me personally today. To reach me in Jacksonville, the beaches, St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Amelia Island, Fleming Island, Daytona, and the Villages, all of the surrounding areas, you can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080. Call me after the show with personal questions. I really do try and answer the phone. I've made it easy to make a complimentary meeting with me in person without any charge or any obligation. You can either call me after the show today or during the week, or zip over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages, you're going to find a blue button that reads click. To schedule your own meeting, click the little blue button. You pick the day, you pick the time, and the meeting is set. A little while later, I may be out in the yard, I may be doing something. A little while later, you're going to receive an email or a confirmation call from me with directions to the office, with a map, a list of documents that you might consider bringing to our meeting, and that's all you have to do. Just sit back and enjoy the show. I tell clients all the time, you come in your flip-flops, you could come in your sandals, you can come in your tuxedo. If you want to get ahead of the meeting, if you want to speak with me today, or if you have an urgent question, feel free to call me after the show. I really do try and answer the phone. Why not make us appointment listening each week? My shows are aired in Jacksonville, the beaches, St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Fleming Island, Amelia Island, Daytona, and the Villages on FM 101.1 and AM 600. Part one is aired Saturdays at noon. Parts one and two are aired together on Sunday morning starting at 9 a.m. Well, this is about, I don't know, the fourth or fifth rewrite of today's show. And what you really need to remember about me and about this show is that at its core, this is a money show. This is about you hiring me to help you make more money in the stock market and planning for your retirement. And I don't get paid to talk politics all day long just because it's interesting. I get paid to analyze when the politics of the country either give me an opportunity to help you make more money, or when that same politics puts your money and my business and my practice at risk. On Tuesday, I thought that the failure to pass the health care bill was going to cost us money. I was very concerned about the market. But by Tuesday night, I was coming around to liking the president's idea of letting the Democrats have their failed Obamacare plan and just move on to tax reform. There was, I knew that the idea of not doing something with health care was a bad, bad, bad idea, but I never believed we should have done health care first. We should have immediately gone to the juice. We should have immediately administered the heroin. We should have immediately applied the morphine. We should have immediately gone to tax reform. And that's what everybody told the president to do, but that's not what he did. He went immediately for health care. He might just as well have gone for a law to ban abortion. He might as well just have gone out and got himself a BB gun and started shooting himself in the eye, because that's how stupid it was to try to do health care first. He should have gone to tax reform, given everybody the juice, given everybody their sugar high, and then done something terrible with health care. So on Tuesday, when he finally made up his mind that because the Republican Congress is so gutless, because Susan Collin even exists, when he finally decides that health care is dead, Mitch McConnell can't get the deal done, Paul Ryan doesn't really want to get the deal done, when he finally recognizes everything that everybody's told him that he refuses to listen to, he says, hey, let's just go to tax reform. And I said, great, great. And the media was backing me up there saying, great, great. Now he hasn't accomplished anything. It's been almost 6 months. He's about to lose his presidency. He's about to lose his control of the Congress. He's going to rush tax reform through. And I said, great, because the sooner tax reform gets here, the higher and faster the stock market should go up. Man, was I happy. Man, oh, man, was I happy. Until I heard Britt Hume's comments on the Tucker Bormey show Tuesday night. I watch the Tucker Bormey show around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, because what happens is I usually come home, have a couple glasses of wine, good night, go to bed, and then I start tossing and turning about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I turn on all the shows that I forgot to watch. And I tuned into the part where Britt Hume was sitting there with Tucker Bormey. And I do regard Britt Hume as an informed and, frankly, unbiased reporter. He has gravitas. And there's not a cure for gravitas. I have gravitas, and I seek no cure. I am living with the benefits of and the curse of huge gravitas. Hume says, and I agree, that letting Obamacare fail while you presently own both houses of Congress, and you ran your presidential campaign on fixing it, and as a Republican Party, you said for 8 years that you would repeal and replace Obamacare. And if you don't, says Hume, and his words, not mine, is politically nuts, politically untenable. For those of you in Fellsmere and in Palatka, untenable means stupid, bad idea. This is not a take-it-or-leave-it final offer real estate deal that Donald Trump is used to doing. Hume says that this would be a colossal failure and historic failure, and I agree with Britt Hume. I knew that. And the only reason I wanted him to go ahead and abandon health care was because I'm a greedy, money-grubbing wealth manager. I just want more money. So I don't care if he does the right thing. I just want him to get to tax reform so that instead of paying a 30% tax rate, Apple can pay a 15% tax rate, which is another Trump lie. We're never going to see 15%. It's just another lie. If you get 20 or 22, you're going to be lucky. But hey, even 22 from 36 is 14% drops right to Apple's bottom line. I can live with that. I can live with that little white lie. Because I'm just a money-grubbing wealth manager trying to help you make more money. And if the president does what he says he's going to do, he can help you make more money. So I don't really care about health care. I'm going to be on Medicare next 6 months anyway. What do I care? You Republicans or conservatives or independents or whatever the hell you want to call yourselves, my fellow Americans, you really must try and separate your emotional, personal investment in Donald Trump from your money investment in the stock market. Because I promise you this, if your personal investment in this president fails, and he ends up self-inflicting an impeachment upon himself, or he somehow manages to fail to get tax reform as he promised. He's already reneged on 15, and they're up to 20 or 22% now. You guys are going to lose a lot of the real money profit that you put in the bank this last year. That money's going to evaporate. So you need to make up your mind. Are you personally invested in this president because you want to see him drain the swamp and make America great again and cut taxes on the evil rich and the poor and some kind of health care that's going to be free for everybody and better than Obama? Are you really that personally invested in all the jibber-jabber you hear coming out of Washington? Or are you smart enough to use this program to think the way I do about your money and recognize that the wheels are coming off this president?
Wheels on fire, rolling down the road. Let's notify my next of kin. This wheel shall explode.
You really need to try and find a way to embrace what I'm sharing with you. And you need to pray. You really do. You need to pray that your president listens to those of us who criticize him the most and want him to succeed the most. I'm not CNN. I'm not picking on the president because I want Hillary or Chelsea to run for president again and I want them to win. I'm not picking on the president. I'm not CNN. I'm not MSNBC. I'm not Joe. I'm not Mika. I'm not one of the Scarborough twins. I'm not picking on the president for ratings. I'm picking on the president because I want him to succeed. I believe in his agenda. I want his agenda to make more money for you. I don't want to say the president has no clothes. But what I do want to say is the president is his own worst enemy. He needs another microphone or another interview with the New York Times or CNN or MSNBC like Wimpy needs another hamburger. By Wednesday, Netflix shares were still screaming higher, and I was euphoric regarding the speech of the president, or the meeting of the president between the president and the Senate members. I thought his castigation of them, his forceful speech, his mannerisms, the tone of the conversation, the words of the conversation, I thought it was a forceful and sincere meeting, and I thought it was the best interview this president has ever given. I was going to rewrite the entire show to praise the president. Until Thursday, when he gave the interview to the New York Times, threatening Jeff Sessions and the special prosecutor. No, no, Marty, he didn't threaten Jeff. Yes, he did. Normally, when you say to somebody you've lost confidence in them or you've changed your mind or you wouldn't have hired them, normally they get the message, right? Normally, they get the message. It's time for you to go. You pick the day, you pick the time, but it's time for you to go. Well, that's not what Jeff Sessions did, right? That's not what Jeff Sessions did. But make no mistake, the president was trying to influence the Justice Department, which controls the special prosecutor.
Wheels on fire.
If I tell you that the president just made himself more likely to be impeached for threatening, for influencing him, for communicating with, from jibber-jabbering at Jeff Sessions, will you hate me and not become a client? You know, some of you are out there going, yeah, that's what's going to happen, and the clients you got are going to leave you. Well, as much as I want new clients or to keep the clients that I have, don't you think the stock market might be in jeopardy, that this great rally that we have had since January, don't you think that that might collapse if this president were to face impeachment rightly, wrongly, fairly, wise, unwise, or as my coaches used to say, wise, unwise, or otherwise? Don't you think that the country going through another impeachment like we did with Bill Clinton might drag the stock market down? I don't care what it does to his presidency. I don't care if it's right or wrong. That's not the business that I'm in. That is not my business. I get one vote. I made my vote. You get one vote. You got your vote. We got the president that we got for somewhere around 4 years or less. I just want to know that if this train implodes, if these wheels catch fire, I just want to know how much of your money you want to lose. Because I'm happy to sit here and do nothing. I'm happy to take your money, pay my fee, you give me your retirement, and you could lose 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% of your money. And if that's okay with you, I'm okay. Because as long as I get paid, that's okay. But I really get the idea that if you start losing that money, some of you might fire me. And that's not good for me. I won't be able to go on any more vacations or play tennis or buy any new stuff. And I don't like that plan. So what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to share with this president, if he'll listen as he flies, you know, he's flying for almost 300 miles over my radio space. Surely Air Force One could tune into this show. One of you guys that knows him needs to send him a copy of the show. Right? He needs to start listening to me and not Sean. What the president did in this attempt to force Jeff Sessions to resign, to embarrass him into resigning, I believe may ultimately lead to an impeachable offense. There's only one reason that Jeff Sessions has not resigned. Why? Let me ask you a question. If you're president, if you're hired by the president, and he says that what he said, if you're hired by the president and you serve at the pleasure of the president, and he says the things that he said Thursday, and you're Jeff Sessions, why didn't you resign? Because that's what the president asked you to do. Why didn't Jeff Sessions resign? I think I know the answer. I think Jeff Sessions truly values this president. I think he's truly trying to protect this president from himself. I think Jeff Sessions knows that publicly humiliating him was a call for him to resign. But if he does, he's going to make it so much worse for this president, so much more likely that an impeachment will follow for his friend, that he's going to stand there and take this humiliation. Because nobody deserves to be fired the way James Comey was fired, and nobody deserves to be embarrassed by the president of the United States, Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative or independent. But I think Jeff Sessions knows that if he resigns, the Democrats are going to come gunning for this president, and he knows that the Republicans will join them, because you cannot go around picking judges. I've had people in my life pick judges against me. I've had it in St. Augustine. The articles are on the internet. Go read them. But that's what happens when you go judge shopping. It's an utter and total fiasco. And it's the most insidious form of corruption in America. And that's what the president did to Jeff Sessions. He effectively went judge shopping. And I'm off script, and I'm more angry because I just remembered how badly it hurt me and my family. I wish somebody in my life had the courage of Jeff Sessions to say, no, I won't be humiliated. I won't give up my morals. I will do the right thing, even if the guy that I work for doesn't know what I'm doing is the right thing. Donald Trump went judge shopping. I agree with Donald Trump. You should have an attorney general that you can trust, that you can have confidence in, that you can confide in. I agree with all of that. But the reality of it is you have an investigation underway. You cannot do anything more. You can't go tampering with the jury. It's done, Donald. It's done, Mr. President. Your whack job kids, Paul Manafort has got you in deep duty. You've got to endure this. You're going to have to endure this investigation. And you cannot humiliate Jeff Sessions. You cannot do it. There are people coming for your throat. They will slit your throat and impeach you. They want it. The TV networks would love this whole millennial generation. My producer Jesse's never seen a real live impeachment. You guys never got to watch the O.J. Simpson trial. You guys need some real live TV. And the networks, CNBC and CNN, they're happy to deliver it in the form of a beautiful impeachment that will go on for a year. And you guys getting ready to retire, your money is at peril. This is a bad, bad way to do business. Friday morning, parts of the president's personal legal team started leaving him. Here's the news. Chief spokesman for President Trump's personal legal team, Mark Corallo, has resigned. Corallo confirmed his resignation in an email to The Hill. Politico reported Thursday that his resignation was due to growing frustration with operation and warring factions inside the White House, as well as concerns over whether he was being told the truth. The truth by whom? Ivanka? Donald Trump? Manafort? The president? Lawyers don't like it when clients lie to them, because these are high-powered lawyers with reputations. And I'm going to tell you, when a lawyer, unlike the judges in St. Augustine, who don't know stink from stinkola, when a lawyer and a client conspire, it's a very serious event. The lawyers can go to jail. Donald Trump's lawyers are leaving him because they cannot conspire with a lie. Now, you can listen to Sean Hannity and Mrs. Hannity, and you can listen to your friends, and you can listen to your neighbors tell you, no, 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 the whole world hates the president. They just hate him. They just want to prosecute him. No, his lawyers are leaving him. The rats are leaving the ship. The wheels are on fire. Let's try and make more money. I'm done with the president. He's not listening to me anyway. He's probably out tweeting, doing something else intelligent while I'm on the radio. Let's try and make more money. Let's get to the money news. We only got about 4 minutes left, plus the next hour, which is coming up right now. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about Amazon this week and crazy Jeff Bezos, its CEO. The shares are back over $1,000. What if I told you, however, that I thought Amazon had changed, that this is not the same company that it was a year ago, and that it's trying to change as quickly and as fast as it possibly can, and that it is in peril? Grave peril? Is there any other kind of peril? I think Amazon is in trouble. Grave trouble? I don't know about grave trouble. Or if it's just going to rocket even higher. I'm trying to consider whether I want to drop our entire position in the shares, or could the market just drive this momentum stock even higher, but for the wrong reasons, for even longer? Do I want to be the voice in the wilderness yelling fire in a theater as it comes to Amazon? I think Amazon is rushing as fast as it can to completely change its business. And the part of the business that they need to change the most and drop the soonest is the Amazon Web Services business, their cloud services business, their most and nearly only profit center. I've argued on this show that they need to spin that business off into a separate company, and that they can't because that part of the business subsidizes the rest of Amazon. And now my voice is being echoed by other great analysts. What if I told you that this is a company that's just like most other semiconductors or DRAM hard drive manufacturers or computer companies themselves? What if I told you that cloud services was a commodities business whose cost is ultimately driving to zero? Amazon needs to find some new business model before their accounting ruse catches up to reality. I'm going to talk to you about all of this in part two of today's show. I've run out of time. I went a little long. We got earnings last night from Microsoft. Did you listen to the conference call on Thursday night? I did. That's why I'm so dang tired. More on that as we come back to part two of today's show. We are primed and loaded for success. I'm mindful of the ease by which the algorithms can take hold. If you'd like to talk about your retirement with me, your investments, if you want to talk politics with me, you can hash out some of these very real concerns. I'm available to meet with you personally. And so if this is Saturday, part two is coming up tomorrow morning starting at 8 a.m. If this is Sunday morning, parts one and two are aired together back to back starting at 8 a.m. So stay tuned right now for part two of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour. Both parts of the show are already available for replay or stream or podcast. Simply hover over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com, hit the radio show tab, grab the stream, and you're ready to go. To reach me in Jacksonville, the beach of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Amelia Island, Fleming Island, all the surrounding areas, the villages in Daytona, 904-234-8080. I've made it easy to make a complimentary meeting with me in person without charge or obligation. Call me after the show today, during the week. Zip over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages, blue button. Click to schedule your own meeting. Click the blue button. You pick the day. You pick the time. A little while later, I'll confirm it, give you a list of directions to the office, a map, and some documents to bring. Have a great weekend!
I took a walk in the rain one day on the wrong side of the track.